Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Have had it and no longer have it. It's frustrating to be able to declare that I once possessed something and now I no longer have it. And my brothers and my sisters, we now know that this whole deal of having something and no longer having it, it must be a problem and it must be serious. Mm-hmm. It's a serious situation and it must be serious with God. For God takes a whole chapter, I'll prove it to you, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, God talks about lost stuff. Mm-hmm. He talks about lost sheep that he had, and he says that if I have 99 of them and one get away, mm-hmm, I'll secure the rest of them and I go looking for the one. I said, it must be serious, because Jesus always talked in parables, and he said there were a woman one day who lost a coin. She went and swept her whole house clean trying to find a one coin. I said, it must be serious, because one man darkened the doorway of his gate every day because he had lost his son and waiting for his boy to come back home. I said, it must be serious, mm-hmm, to have had something and now no longer have it. And I tried to figure out why is it so serious for us, because it sets us up for how we're going to dive right into this text. First of all, it's serious and it's hard because we get attached to stuff. Oh, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And when you get attached to stuff, you don't like to get detached from stuff. Mm-hmm. Once I get used to something, hear me clearly, family, once I done broke something in, somebody talk back to me. I've got a mindset and a conclusion about something, and I hate to be detached from that thing that I have attached myself to. Somebody say, glory, it's mine. Mm-hmm. And not to mention that the thing that I have attached myself to is good. I don't ever want to be detached from something that's good. Am I right about it? The fact that the word of God suggests to us having tasted of the good thing, to suggest that having tasted the goodness of God, you never want to be detached from God's goodness and his presence. I know I'm right about it. All you got to do is check out the psalmist. Mm-hmm. The songwriter declares, I feel, God, that you're not around me anymore. And the real problem is, it's not about you not coming back, because I know if I pray right, if I live right, if I treat my neighbor right, you will come back again, but it just don't feel like the same without your presence. In other words, he was saying, I don't ever want to be detached from the Almighty God. That's why we get so upset when we lose a loved one. Not only because you know death is coming, we're not here to stay, but we're never prepared for death. That's because we have to prepare ourselves now to be detached from that particular one that we love and we were connected to. And I found out that it's hard. It's just hard. It's hard because we get attached, and not only do we get attached, but we claim ownership of the things we get attached to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess with you too bad this morning, but I just want you to know there's nothing wrong with being attached to stuff as long as you're not attached to it more than you are attached to God. Somebody say amen. But I think we have to really challenge ourselves this morning as to how much ownership we really claim over stuff. For the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to God. I believe I ought to say that one more time. Everything belongs to God. And in actuality, nothing really belongs to us. We're what you call stewards of God's possessions. God has called us to oversee the very thing that God has given us charge of. So in actuality, if we no longer have what we had, we really just lost charge of the very thing that God had given us charge over. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the ownership is the same, because it never changes. I'll say it again, everything belongs to God. Mm-hmm. I want to help you this morning. I want to help you. Even the devil belongs to God. Somebody say hallelujah. I heard the psalmist said, if I go to heaven, thou art there. And if I go down to hell, thou art there also. And if I go to the uttermost parts of the world, I'll be doggone if you ain't there too. Mm-hmm. God is everywhere, and he possesses everything. He is the owner, and he is in charge. I don't want to scare y'all too bad this morning, but I want to serve notice. I don't care who you are. You can put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip if you want to, but you can lose your stuff. You can have a whole lot of stuff right now, and all of a sudden your stuff can be gone like everybody else's, because the Lord giveth time, the Lord taketh away. Somebody help me this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's that we feel one or two feelings when this thing called stuff happens to us. Number one, we can feel irresponsible because we lost it. It's like it's something we should have done to keep what we had. And in actuality, that's true, because when God makes you steward over something, he calls you to responsibility to take charge of that thing. But stewardship always takes care of what belongs to it. Somebody say amen. And not only do we feel irresponsible, but we also may feel violated. For there's something that we have not done to really say, I lost my stuff. I talked back to somebody this morning and let them know, for me, I want my stuff back. It's possession. Possession over stuff. I don't take what I already claim. It's one thing for me to lose it, and I got to deal with the irresponsibility of myself. But don't take my stuff. Somebody pray for me. The Bible says in John, the 10th chapter, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in reality, what we really have to deal with is this whole thing about having something and now no longer having it, is where not only dealing with the feeling of not having it, or feeling of when we had it and the feeling of how we lost it and taken away from us, we're dealing with a whole lot of other stuff in our minds and in our spirit. Because I'm trying to figure out, how in the world did I lose my stuff? Somebody think about it. Ask yourself this morning, how in the world did I lose my joy, knowing this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away? How in the world did I lose my mind over a man when they come and they go? God's going to give me what I need, and what I don't need, he'll move it out of my way. How in the world could I lose a roof over my head when I know God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly of all I can ever ask or think? I said, how could I lose my stuff? But the fact of the matter is, we have to deal with the fact that we need to get our stuff back. Is there anybody here this morning that ever lost anything? Anything that you had possession over, something you and I cannot figure out on our own, but we know God gave it to us, and now you got a mindset this morning, you feel like I feel, I want my stuff back. Somebody holler at me this morning and say glory. You're trying to scheme and figure out a plan to get your stuff back. But just in case nobody told you, when you deal with the devil, you're dealing with a crafty fella. Because he's thinking day and night how to keep you from what God has given unto you. Well, I realize already that I got us in a dilemma. And I got to deal with this morning, and I realized that I set up a situation. And I realized that I've set up a scenario for you and I, all dealing with the fact that I want my stuff back. And the only candidate I had to talk to try to help me this morning to figure out how to deal with this whole loss deal was Job. Somebody said Job. Job was the prime candidate, and I mean, if you check out his resume, he's got enough in the back of his file cabinet of experience to talk to us about what it feels like to have had something and now no longer have it. Am I right about it? And not only that, to think how good it was before you lost it. You all know the story. The book opens up like this. It said, there was a man who was an upright man, and his name was Job. And to lay out all that Job had, the Bible says he had great possessions. He had money. He had servants and sons and daughters. And his quiver was full, and his house was happy. And not only that, but he was well spoken of. And then the Bible says, all of a sudden, there we go, things went sour. Things went crazy, and the very thing that he had working wasn't working anymore. The thing that he used to be able to count on, he couldn't count on it anymore. It was gone. You all know the story. as it came to pass, that the real story uncovered and unveiled itself when the devil was talking to God and asked God for permission to be able to mess with Job because God's hand was on Job. Oh, I stopped by this morning to tell somebody, as long as God has his hands on you, you can look for some trouble, but he's able to bring you out, and he won't put no more on you than you can bear. I need to pull out some other truths before we close, because there's a few things as you read this story that you will learn from our brother Job before I end this text. And I tell you, the things in your life can be going right, everything can be going good, and all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, as quick as you can turn your head, things can go sour. Stuff can turn around. But I learned something from Job this morning. I learned no matter how things go around, trouble don't last always. I learned from Brother Job that a weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I tell you, morning ain't the same for everybody, but I learned something else from Job. I learned that there's nobody above going through trials and tribulation, and nobody too good to struggle. Somebody say glory. I know you thought because you were in the church and that you work on a couple auxiliaries and you give a lot of money that you thought the devil was going to leave you alone. But I stopped by to tell you, every level is a new devil. Listen, you can pray me through until things get better. You can pray me through until things get all right. You can pray me through until a door opens, and you can pray me through till the devil gets off of my back, and I thank you. But if you can't pray me through and you don't know how to pray, then I'll tell you to your face, leave me alone and wait till I come out, because I believe God is able. For the Bible says all of us are like sheep and have gone astray. You got to get to that place where you know when I'm going through, I can't be around everybody. Job's story testifies to the point. But let me break it down to you. I heard God say, I want to cultivate your character. In order to do that, you're going to have to suffer and go through. I hear God saying, I want you to be patient, but you're going to have to go through some trials and tribulations. And then I hear God saying, listen, I know you need money, and I know you want money, but I'm going to have to teach you how to live content in the state that you're in, so that when you do arrive, you'll never forget which the Lord has brought you from. God begins to teach us that his ways are not our ways in Job's story, that he does not do it the same way all the time. And here we ask God for friends, and he gives us enemies. We ask God to make us prosperous, and he said, all right, I'm going to put you in a barren land, and I need you to plant some seeds, and you make it work. Keep on watering on the promise, because I want you to appreciate it when you reach your destination, that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I got to move this train. And not only do we understand that God's ways are not our ways, and I think real issues is at hand here, because after I go through 41 chapters,
Blog Talk Radio.
My body.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry anointed by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. We believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. We honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. We establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior trustees, and junior deacons and training them up in the fear of the Lord right now, because tomorrow is not promised to no one, and when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah, talk, radio. Y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live, somebody say, that is the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a few moments this morning to the book of Job, the 42nd chapter. You all know Job, don't you? Job 42 and 1. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. And the word of the Lord reads as thus: Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, that I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text, how to get your stuff back, I am convinced this morning without a doubt in my mind that one of the more frustrating things of life is to have had something and now no longer have it. It is to possess something and now no longer possess it. It is to have had sanity and now you're no longer sane, and to have had peace and now you no longer have peace, to have had joy and then no longer have joy. It's frustrating. Somebody said frustrating. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it, and I'm telling the truth. It's just frustrating to have had it and no longer have it. It's frustrating to be able to declare that I once possessed something and now I no longer have it. And my brothers and my sisters, we now know that this whole deal of having something and no longer having it, it must be a problem and it must be serious. It's a serious situation and it must be serious with God. For God takes a whole chapter, I prove it to you, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, God talks about lost stuff. He talks about lost sheep that he had, and he says that if I have 99 of them and one get away, I'll secure the rest of them and I go looking for the one. I said, it must be serious, because Jesus always talked in parables, and he said, There were a woman one day who lost a coin. She went and swept her whole house clean trying to find one coin. I said, it must be serious, because one man darkened the doorway of his gate every day because he had lost his son and waiting for his boy to come back home. I said, it must be serious to have had something and now no longer have it. And I tried to figure out why is it so serious for us, because it sets us up for how we're going to dive right into this text. First of all, it's serious and it's hard because we get attached to stuff. Oh, yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get attached to stuff, you don't like to get detached from stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get used to something, hear me clearly, family, once I done broke something in, somebody talk back to me. I've got a mindset and a conclusion about something, and I hate to be detached from that thing that I have attached myself to. Somebody say, glory, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention that the thing that I have attached myself to is good. I don't ever want to be detached from something that's good. Am I right about it? The fact that the Word of God suggests to us having tasted of the good thing, to suggest that having tasted the goodness of God, you never want to be detached from God's goodness and His presence. Oh, I know I'm right about it. All you got to do is check out the psalmist.
Mm-hmm.
The songwriter declares, I feel, God, that you're not around me anymore. And the real problem is, it's not about you not coming back, because I know if I pray right, if I live right, if I treat my neighbor right, you will come back again, but it just don't feel like the same without your presence. In other words, he was saying, I don't ever want to be detached from the Almighty God. That's why we get so upset when we lose a loved one. Not only because you know death is coming, we're not here to stay, but we're never prepared for death. That's because we have to prepare ourselves now to be detached from that particular one that we love and we were connected to. And I found out that it's hard. It's just hard. It's hard because we get attached, and not only do we get attached, but we claim ownership of the things we get attached to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mess with you too bad this morning, but I just want you to know there's nothing wrong with being attached to stuff as long as you're not attached to it more than you are attached to God. Somebody say amen. But I think we have to really challenge ourselves this morning as to how much ownership we really claim over stuff. For the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to God. I believe I ought to say that one more time. Everything belongs to God. And in actuality, nothing really belongs to us. We're what you call stewards of God's possessions. God has called us to oversee the very thing that God has given us charge of. So in actuality, if we no longer have what we had, we really just lost charge of the very thing that God had given us charge over.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the ownership is the same, because it never changes. I'll say it again, everything belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help you this morning. I want to help you. Even the devil belongs to God. Somebody say hallelujah. I heard the psalmist said, if I go to heaven, thou art there. And if I go down to hell, thou art there also. And if I go to the uttermost parts of the world, I'll be doggone if you ain't there too.
Mm-hmm.
God is everywhere, and He possesses everything. He is the owner, and He is in charge. I don't want to scare y'all too bad this morning, but I want to serve notice. I don't care who you are. You can put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip if you want to, but you can lose your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a whole lot of stuff right now, and all of a sudden, your stuff can be gone like everybody else's, because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Somebody help me this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that we feel one or two feelings when this thing called stuff happens to us. Number one, we can feel irresponsible because we lost it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's something we should have done to keep what we had. And in actuality, that's true, because when God makes you steward over something, He calls you to responsibility to take charge of that thing. But stewardship always takes care of what belongs to it. Somebody say amen. And not only do we feel irresponsible, but we also may feel violated. For there's something that we have not done to really say, I lost my stuff. I talked back to somebody this morning and let them know, for me, I want my stuff back. It's possessions. Mm-hmm. Possession over stuff. I don't take what I already claim. It's one thing for me to lose it, and I got to deal with the irresponsibility of myself. But don't take my stuff. Somebody pray for me. The Bible says in John, the 10th chapter, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in reality, what we really have to deal with is this whole thing about having something and now no longer having it, is where not only dealing with the feeling of not having it, or feeling of when we had it and the feeling of how we lost it and taken away from us, we're dealing with the whole lot of other stuff in our minds and in our spirit. Because I'm trying to figure out, how in the world did I lose my stuff? Somebody think about it. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself this morning, how in the world did I lose my joy, knowing this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away? How in the world did I lose my mind over a man when they come and they go? God's going to give me what I need, and what I don't need, he'll move it out of my way. How in the world could I lose a roof over my head when I know God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly of all I can ever ask or think? I said, how could I lose my stuff? But the fact of the matter is, we have to deal with the fact that we need to get our stuff back. Is there anybody here this morning that ever lost anything? Anything that you had possession over, something you and I cannot figure out on our own, but we know God gave it to us, and now you got a mindset this morning, you feel like I feel, I want my stuff back. Somebody holler at me this morning and say glory. You're trying to scheme and figure out a plan to get your stuff back. But just in case nobody told you, when you deal with the devil, you're dealing with a crafty fella. Because he's thinking day and night how to keep you from what God has given unto you. Well, I realize already that I got us in a dilemma. And I got to deal with this morning, and I realized that I set up a situation. And I realized that I've set up a scenario for you and I are all dealing with the fact that I want my stuff back. And the only candidate I had to talk to try to help me this morning to figure out how to deal with this whole loss deal was Job. Somebody said Job. Job was the prime candidate, and I mean, if you check out his resume, he's got enough in the back of his file cabinet of experience to talk to us about what it feels like to have had something and now no longer have it. Here, am I right about it? And not only that, to think how good it was before you lost it. You all know the story. The book opens up like this. It says, there was a man who was an upright man, and his name was Job. And to lay out all that Job had, the Bible says he had great possessions. He had money. He had servants and sons and daughters. And his quiver was full, and his house was happy. And not only that, but he was well spoken of. And then the Bible says, all of a sudden, there we go, things went sour. Things went crazy, and the very thing that he had working wasn't working anymore. The thing that he used to be able to count on, he couldn't count on it anymore. It was gone. You all know the story. As it came to pass, that the real story uncovered and unveiled itself when the devil was talking to God and asked God for permission to be able to mess with Job, because God's hand was on Job. Oh, I stopped by this morning to tell somebody, as long as God has his hands on you, you can look for some trouble, but he's able to bring you out, and he won't put no more on you than you can bear. I need to pull out some other truths before we close, because there's a few things as you read this story that you will learn from our brother Job before I end this text. And I tell you, the things in your life can be going right, everything can be going good, and all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, as quick as you can turn your head, things can go sour. Stuff can turn around. But I learned something from Job this morning. I learned no matter how things go around, trouble don't last always. I learned from Brother Job that a weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I tell you, morning ain't the same for everybody, but I learned something else from Job. I learned that there's nobody above going through trials and tribulations, and nobody too good to struggle. Somebody say glory. I know you thought because you were in the church and that you work on a couple auxiliaries and you give a lot of money, that you thought the devil was going to leave you alone. But I stop by to tell you, every level is a new devil. Uh-huh. Listen, you can pray me through until things get better. You can pray me through until things get all right. You can pray me through until a door opens. And you can pray me through till the devil gets off of my back. And I thank you. But if you can't pray me through and you don't know how to pray, then I'll tell you to your face, leave me alone and wait till I come out, because I believe God is able. For the Bible says, all of us are like sheep and have gone astray. Mm-hmm. You got to get to that place where you know what I'm going through. I can't be around everybody. Job's story testifies to the point. But let me break it down to you. I heard God say, I want to cultivate your character. Uh-huh. In order to do that, you're going to have to suffer and go through. I hear God saying, I want you to be patient, but you're going to have to go through some trials and tribulations. And then I hear God saying, listen, I know you need money, and I know you want money, but I'm going to have to teach you how to live content in the state that you're in, so that when you do arrive, you'll never forget what the Lord has brought you from. God begins to teach us that his ways are not our ways in Job's story. That he does not do it the same way all the time. Mm-hmm. And here we ask God for friends, and he gives us enemies. We ask God to make us prosperous, and he said, all right, I'm going to put you in a barren land, and I need you to plant some seeds, and you make it work. Keep on watering on the promise. Uh-huh. Because I want you to appreciate it when you reach your destination, that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I got to move this train. And not only do we understand that God's ways are not our ways, and I think real issues is at hand here, because after I go through 41 chapters,